MJ says, Master Gap. Then says, there's no message. That's his location, Master Gap. And he has a message. Simply lease your lying eyes to manifest your will. All right, that's MJ. And then Anonymous says, maybe you should revisit my previous quick message. I think he means the one about the guff. In light of hearing the guff, he says, the meat sack cannot be used as a vessel for that long and remain. The meat sack cannot be used as a vessel for that long and remain pure, non-physical. The meat sack is delicious. Coming from the gut, the nature of it is to do everything to experience our marvelous cells, senses, accessing mass, wireless pollution, to sieve within JW's unique vessel. That's fun, considering the gut is the void series of labyrinths when you got the node to line them up from. I rest my case. You heard the samples. You heard the music. What did you hear? At least the beginning, it started with Duke Ellington's great Afro-Eurasian Eclipse, another part of this suite called Didgeridoo. And then you heard Desmond Dekker, You Can Get It If You Want. And then the sampling of our greatest backups. Anybody ready to say anything? Have you had considerable time to regenerate something pattern-like?
May I say something?
I think we'll go alphabetically. Michael.
Okay. just to let you know, Bob, that the full series of Fringe will be available on May the 7th. It is out. And also that Carolyn's book, The Magnesium Miracle, is still number one in supplements on Amazon.com and number three in healing, and sitting at 252 overall in sales in Amazon. So congratulations, Carolyn. It's doing really well.
Yeah, it's still down there in the upper 100s. You know, the lowest it's ever been before was 2,000 or something. Now it's just a regular neighborhood of 200 and 300 and 100. So see how long that goes. Now, there's something you just said, Michael. Your first thought was...
Fringe is now available.
Fringe.
Full series.
You know, it was about May 7th, 2009. I know that show number 9, the second last show, 19, had happened, and maybe 20 was going to happen. And I know it ended the first few weeks of May 2009, that first season. Yeah. And that's when Ion told us to tune into it and take a look at it. And so here it is, the fifth anniversary of that. When we checked in, we changed the show.
I was not a Fringe watcher. That's why I've been looking to waiting for the whole series to be available. And then I'm going to go and watch it, because it's definitely part of the Iondom and the Dobstan anthology is related to what's going on in Fringe.
Yeah, and I felt that rehearing the Empty the Guff. In typical Android meme distortion, they were trying to show a whole tension and drama around the opening of everything so that Parallel Worlds would be accessible normally. And, you know, that happened, Ian said, around April 22nd, 2010. The weekend we opened the dupes forum. Ion, around that time, said that his first post was, all the portals are open. That was his first post. And, you know, that allowed Ion to go in and take over the chip body. See, it was the foundation of Duke's non-physical. You don't know this, do you, Michael? It's a new pattern for you, right?
Right. No, I don't know this.
Yeah. That you go look at the dates. Sasha has her first private session on April 22nd, and we find out JW is in New York and he's supposed to get back in time. He supposedly gets back in time, but it's a damaged JW, a damaged Ion, very tired, and I almost canceled the thing, but Ion finally got his engine going. And then we get a call the next day from JW apologizing for not getting back from New York in time. He did not know that AJW had gotten back or was already there, but performed rather weirdly. And, you know, we could maybe play some of Sasha's first part of her session about that. Okay, that weekend, is also when we opened the Dukes of Non-Physical, and Ion's, I think, first post was that all the portals were open. And around then, Ion had said to us that was around April 15th, but then it became April 22nd. And then, now what's my point here? So there was a dramatic completion there, and that allowed Ion to play in the chip body, and he started to do that, and that's when JW started to hear all this music coming into his home. So it was a dramatic, and we're saying all this on the Easter weekend. This is the Easter show, if that means anything to anybody.
Right.
It's the Good Friday show.
So what did you want to say, Rev Eagle?
I'm sorry. That was Dee that wanted to get in a word, but she went back to take her nap. I just wanted to make a comment, which is I found that what you played, Sir Bob, was delightful, and it returned me to three books, you could say, that were echoing some of it. The first one is A Cascading Waterfall of Nectar by Finley Norbu in the Dalai Lama tradition, but much more so. Also reminded me of my many conversations with Matthew Ricard, who is the incredible person who, and I say incredible, not easily, that was the French translator of the Dalai Lama and has started so many things in Mongolia, it knocked my hat off.
Right.
And it also reminded me of, and I'm just talking now about echoes.
Yes.
These things are echoes.
Yeah.
Epictetus, Discourse and Selected Writings.
Yes, I know it.
You know it, okay. And the other one is a dear friend of mine, Nassim Haramein, who I've got his first draft. It later became a book 4 years later. This one is named The Harmonic Sphere of Flux Resonator. A, quote, new, quote, cycle begins. And that's
psycho
about,
what?
Huh?
Psycho what?
A quote, new, unquote, cycle begins.
Oh, cycle begins. Okay, cycle.
Yeah, it's not, cycle. It's not about motorcycle.
Right. Okay.
But it is.
Isn't it another title?
And I experienced, he brought back you were talking about the, what the heck is it called? The Covenant.
Yes, Ark of the Covenant.
He brought back the Covenant, and we both chased it around our yard here in Santa Barbara.
You and he chased around the yard.
No, we chased after what he had made in the Ark of the Covenant and brought with him, and it generated a ball that bounced around and had a lot of fun. And we've tripped and fell all over ourselves, and the moment we'd get almost in reach, you would go, ha-ha, and whoop, go another 10 feet.
Right. Okay, have you ever heard of Jim George?
No, I have not.
Okay, you seem to be acquainted with the Dalai Lama circle or meme or people, right?
Well, I like people that have a good sense of humor and laugh at themselves.
Right. Well, Jim George was a Canadian who became an ambassador to Greece and all kinds of places after World War II and ended up being an ambassador to India in the late 60s. And he had been a Gurdjieffian. He just missed meeting Gurdjieff by 6 months. And he met Madame, whatever her name is, de Saltzman or whatever, you know, in the, a few months after Gurdjieff passed in 49. So he got involved in the Gurdjieff world.
Well, he's kind of lucky. He's kind of lucky. He missed the prankster.
Right. All right. So then he ends up in India. And I guess the Dalai Lama knew about him.
Sorry,
the Dalai
my phone
Lama
kicked out.
Okay, you can't hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, so the Dalai Lama approached him when he was ambassador to India, to ask him, because the Dalai Lama had been down in the, you know, humid Indian territories for almost 10 years, and the manuscripts, sacred manuscripts, were rotting. So we asked Jim to microfilm all the manuscripts and not look at them when he was doing it. So Jim and another guy did that. So Jim became a close friend of the Dalai Lama from that point on, I guess as part of his inner circle. And then Jim led the Threshold Gang, which was using a lot of wealthy people's monies to stop the international whaling first, I guess, coming out of Japan. Yeah. And then he also was involved with William Irwin Thompson and Lindisfarne. But he did a book, something, Earth something, I can't remember the title, but you might want to read it. But I was just wondering if you came across him in any way. That doesn't sound like you did. Now, he's the one who got Carolyn to go to New York in the early 90s. He was a patient of Carolyn in Toronto, and he asked her to do Mir in New York, and that led to some interesting experiences in the 90s. And then Jim George got involved with Adam Trombley.
Yeah.
You might know that name.
Yeah, I do.
Have you ever met him?
No.
And then there's a few other people like that, Patrick Flanagan. So Jim has touched on all these areas. And I even introduced him to the Evergreens. He heard a bit of the Evergreens, but he never had a session. But
thank
I told
God
him
he didn't
about,
introduce him to the Abrahams, but anyway.
Who did?
I didn't.
Yeah, good I didn't. Yeah. And then I told him about Ion a couple of years ago, and he used to come to Hawaii a lot to visit Adam Trombley, but he has not followed up on the Ion point. And he's pretty aged now, so he may not get here. But we're right here, and he's known us for a long time. And just wondering if you knew him, and you haven't. So let's go on to another theme.
Okay.
What do we want to talk about? What's next, Michael, or anybody?
You have the microphone. Do we have any inquicks, Bob?
No, when we start getting this late, everybody's gone to sleep. Let me see.
While you're looking, I could ask you a question, could I not?
Sure.
Yeah. Would you email me where you found that stuff on Holly?
Yes, I will send you the... Yep, we can do that.
Okay.
Right, and now we did have an email from MJ. He says, my contacts say, and he has PAs, production assistants, and seem to assume Fringe is coming back. Don't hold me to that, but it seems to be a non-issue, or a non-issue, he spells it. Bob, did you catch up on Touch yet? No, I have not watched Touch, and people have said it's weak. And I'm not watching TV for 6 months to let everything build up, so I will probably eventually watch it, but... there's been nobody being enthusiastic and nobody talking about it. So, MJ, you're recommending it? You're following it? If so, let us hear something. Okay, next topic. No more messages. So you're free to go into new territory.
Do you want to look at that page that you posted on Dupes? Do you actually want to read that out, Bob?
That's a good idea. All right, let's do that. Okay. This is page 86. Of Take Today. Would you comment on what did you think when you read it and saw how it was written?
I had to read it and then I had to come back to it a couple of hours later and read it again, and only then did I kind of start digesting it. And that's from reading it is when I saw the relationship between us and the RNA drops and how we change each other through that relationship. And that's what it gave to me is it's very hard to tell what is software and what is hardware because they're both changing each other and becoming each other as they go through their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And so you see how you have a growing, as a writer, appreciation of what McLuhan did.
Yes. No, but it's amazing writing. I wouldn't say complex writing because once you get it, you get it. But on first read, it really, it's like a Frank Zappa's music. You can't listen to it as background music. And McLuhan, you can't appear to read as leisurely reading. You have to really be there.
Yeah, yeah. And then once you get it, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and then you can come back and then there's more.
Right. then you go towards spinning its wake. Now, here's a message from Matthew. This is Matthew responding to hearing us joke about how people thought that he was ripping off the RNA bottles and making less contents, for his own greedy purposes. And we assured everybody he wasn't doing that. But he wrote to me, and turns out I was wrong. He says, I'm drinking off the top of everyone's bottle, hundreds per day, to accommodate my addiction. to accommodate his addiction to RNA drops. You can tell them I've become a monster consumer. So I'm sorry to hear that, Matthew is. And Ion was all crazy saying that the hydrogen people were taking over from the oxygen people, and the air was getting more potent as it got bigger and the substance got smaller. All apparent lie, because it turns out Matthew is drinking the bottle. So let us close down our operation.
He has to test each one anyway. He's got to take a swig from each bottle just to make sure it's all there.
Right, and then he became addicted to it. Yep. Okay. Glad to get that said off our chest. Now, here is my manifesto, my latest manifesto, because Ben asked, what is mediacology? And I said, point one, mediacology is being practiced by the Android meme. This is called pentad management, as opposed to the old chemical body's attempt at tetrad management. You know, back in the 20s and 30s, the brain trust and the attempt at world government around time of the atomic bomb, that was tetrad management, and the chemical body really didn't do too good at it. So point two, as the Android meme takes over tetrad management, but it's tetrad management for machines, not chemical bodies, so it's pentad management. This leaves the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, and the chip body free to rehearse art. That's capital A art. In brackets, anything the astral body can get away with, or the TV body can get away with, or the chip body, or the chemical body can get away with. So that's point two. This leaves the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, and chip body free to rehearse art. Rehearse art. So in the world of commerce and capitalism and money economy, the after image of it, that's what people are kind of being, artists of that old form. Point three, the Android meme, not the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, the chip body, being the seamless convergence of the four bodies, not any of the particular bodies, probes the invisible present as archetype. So the Android meme doesn't tell you that there is no present. It doesn't tell you there is no now. That's why you can have the corporation say some of these Zen statements in its advertising. You've noticed that, right? Things that were New Age archetypes back in the 60s, 70s, it's normal fare in the Android meme advertising blood. And that's because you need to know there's no now and all that stuff. Then their aphorisms become meaningless. So that's point three. Point four, the only viable anti-environment or way of seeing through or countering the Android meme, very jujitsu-like. So the only viable anti-environment, and if you do it, it's genuine art, not capital A art, it's small A art, not commercial art. Smaller case A as opposed to capital A art. The only viable anti-environment is engaging with Ion, the mystery body, and its byproducts as cliche probe. You have to understand that, cliche probe. You know, people thought that Ion was the Abrahams replayed, or this or that. They didn't understand the cliche probe. So Marshall McLuhan said back in the 60s that when a new technology comes forward, it's the last word, it's the latest, it's the best, it's the greatest. And then after people get used to it, using it a bit, it becomes cliche. And then after a while, it becomes an art. And then later, it becomes an archetype. For example, Picasso. His cubism was the last word in the teens and 20s. And then everybody knew about it by, you could say, 60s or 70s, and it was a cliche. And then it gets retrieved in the 80s and 90s as an art, and they sell his art as a billion-dollar enterprise, huge millions. And then it becomes cliche probe. You retrieve Picasso as an old cliche, but you use it as a probe, just like Ion uses the mortar as a cliche probe. So we use Picasso to say that he was painting parallel worlding, riff riding, something like that.
Yeah, but you can give him a little credit here, because he did spawn a child at 98 and a half.
Yep, that's cliche probing. Yeah, that's creating a new extension and an unlikely context or unlikely setting. So,
and it wasn't cubistic.
That's right. It was completed.
It was rounded.
It was Renaissance art. It was the golden section, the dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions. That's the physical body. So
go.
I wanted to lay out those 4 points. Yeah, there you go. Those are the 4 points. And then I wanted to say this. Michael writes, I did not find Carlos Castaneda rubbish, just to let you know, but he did stretch things. It was his books that brought me all the way from Cape Town to become a fire chief in the Native American Church peyote ceremony and all that went with that. However, after many years of ceremonial work with various tribal communities, as well as with the Huichol, how do you say that, Michael? Huichol Indian? Huichol?
The Huichol.
The Huichol. After many years of ceremonial work with various tribal communities, as well as with the Huichol Indian in Mexico, I did conclude that Castaneda's experience is his personal trip. Just like their Anon. Shut up, Carol. Just like Anon is saying that Ion is JW's personal trip. Now, Anon may not be saying that really, but his words seem to point to that. So Michael realized that Castaneda was on his personal trip, one which he appeared to want everyone to get involved in, especially beautiful and strange girls. A close colleague of mine is a Castaneda student of 30 years or more, and he claims my book, The Presence Process, which comes out of much work with medicinal plants and ceremony, is exactly the same stuff, but without the hallucinations. Does he mean that it's just Carlos's personal trip or your personal trip? What's he saying, your friend?
Well, whenever we write a book, it becomes a personal trip. No, he was saying that the technique of getting into the energy and motion body, or the emotional body, and also they relate that to the astral body, the techniques for doing so are the same in the presence process, except it's made in a way that everybody, no matter who they are, can do it. You don't have to go and take medicine plants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the technique is the same.
So you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I do agree with it, because a lot of that book came out of my influences of being in ceremony, and actually the backbone of the book, which I call The Pathway of Awareness, comes out of the ancient ceremony that the Native Americans use today. The Aztecs still use it. It's used in Brazil. It's a very old ceremony, and that ceremony charts a pathway of that human awareness moves. And that observing that while in ceremony is what enabled me to develop a procedure that enables someone to use that pathway to get into their own emotional body, instead of someone else doing it for them, and then being able to take a look at what's going on in their own emotional body, and then how do they begin to respond to that themselves. So those came out of ceremony.
Right. So I'd say that the shamanistic rituals that you studied are part of the astral body, which is the literature, oral and visual, and whatever else means, passed on about worlds beyond our 3D senses. So you took the astral body and turned it into art, capital A art, or an aspect of astral body memes, and made money from it, okay? Now, your new book is taking, under the influence of Ion, is turning the ceremonies into cliche probe. Okay?
Yeah.
Now remember that when you figure out what I'm trying to say. You can use your own books as an example. Let's see. Then you say, I am open, says Michael, to the fact that Don Juan was a figment of Carlos Castaneda's imagination. The whole saga definitely got him more girls, all his bevy of shamanic babes. I think having good sex with devotedly impressionable women while on mind-altering substances was Carlos's shadow agenda. Well, you have Carlos's shadows agenda. He wrote books to accomplish it. He held good parties. But say that to a Castaneda groupie and you get slapped.
Or worse.
Yeah. Or worse, right. Now, Rev Eagle, have you encountered any of these Castaneda spin-offs and people? Is that in your experience?
No. I could talk about this for a long time, but I won't. But I did just check. I did just check in with the tall one, and
yeah.
I asked about the Don, and also Castanedas. And what I got back, and I did it real quick, so it may not be accurate.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back to that. But what I heard was that neither are real, as in Shakespeare is not real.
Right.
And we all know the story about where the name came from, right?
Shakespeare's name?
Yeah.
Okay, no, what's that story?
He asked the deaf dumb man that excuse me that unhitched the horses of the carriages before the theater if he could take his name, and of course the man was very kindly and he loved animals and he loved this man, so he said of course, and that became known as Shakespeare.
Okay, that's good to hear that. Now so you're saying that the tall one says that Carlos created fiction, a play, like Shakespeare.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to go back
yeah.
and check it out more.
Okay. So
I'm not sure because I had to do it real quick just now.
Right. Now, Michael, did I read about your grave digging on the last show?
No, you didn't.
Okay, let's read this one. I mean, it's fun that Michael's telling about his life and pre-Ion. He says, I practiced many of Carlos's techniques at one point. One was to dig your own grave and then lie in it every day for a while, just to get the mind to face the reality of death so that one could more fully appreciate life. Well, I dug the grave, and the only place available was outside our bedroom window. This was in Tucson. I think it was at this point that my wife started to pull away slightly. Anyway, it was
She wasn't a necrophiliac,
huh? You got Carolyn laughing about that one.
Oh, my gosh. Can you blame her?
No, I can't.
Well, she wasn't a legitimate necrophiliac.
It's just Michael's just trying to avoid being a normal person. You know, he's very fanatic about it. He knew life had more than this dull daily ritual. There must be more. So this was in Tucson. I think it was at this point that my wife started to pull away slightly. Anyway, it was a hell of a job digging it. That part was enlightening. I remember thinking that I would be glad that I was dead when they dug my grave so I wouldn't have to help dig it. There's a lot of hard work that is put in play just because we choose to die. That's a good line. To die, it requires a lot of hard work. I appreciate this now. But back to point. Once dug, I covered the grave with a board and then conveniently forgot about it. About 3 weeks later, my wife conveniently reminded me of the grave and said that I must use it as a way of following through with the idea, which I had obviously belabored before her in way too much detail at one point. So I went out back and lifted the board, and there inside was a lovely nest of large spiders. I immediately dropped the board. Did you run away from this, Michael? We walked away.
I looked inside, and there weren't only spiders. All sorts of insects had made nests and things inside there, and there was no way I was going to lie down there. So I just closed it up and went back inside.
Right, but so there was other things besides large spiders.
Yeah, no, I'd probably left it there for about 3 weeks, so it had become a complete insect nest.
So he drops the board and goes back inside. And his wife says, "You done already?" She asks, justifiably amused. And he says, "No, there are spiders in there. They look like black widows or something." So his wife bursts out laughing. What, she remarked? You afraid of dying?
Are you afraid of widows?
yeah, widows.
Yeah.
And then Michael says, I don't think I discussed Carlos Castaneda with her after that. After that incident, the subject was buried. Buried,
yeah.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
Whole thing. And then your marriage, so how long after that did your marriage sort of start to really obviously be over? A year or two?
Over the next couple of years, I just started doing more ceremonies, being away more, and we just developed different lives. And so one day we realized we were two different people living in the same house, and it was very obvious it wasn't my house, so I left.
Right. Well, were you sad about that or just used to it?
You know, when we left, and when we actually started our separation, we were still holding hands, so it wasn't that there was anything wrong. It was more like we realized that we were heading in two different directions, and we wanted to give each other a chance to explore that. But of course, later down the line, when it ended up in being separated, and that I felt I took a blow, because then when you're with somebody, you have a future, and then what you have to do is when you leave them, and she used to be my best friend, you know, not only my wife but my best friend. And so when you leave that, you have to mourn the death of a future that's gone, that you thought was there.
Yeah.
And and that took me a little while, even though I never realized I was attached to such a future, but it took a while. But But I
that was later.
Yes, that
was much later when you mourned
yes.
it.
Yes, 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 yes. But I
and
admired
you then
her
were
patience
say.
With me.
Okay.
I admired her patience with me.
Right. Now, she's a photographer, right?
That's right, yes.
Did she stay in that world?
No, she's moved into another state. She's been doing things like she photographs. She will go and photograph you from the time you're pregnant until when you give birth to your child and as it grows up. So she follows people's children and families and does portraits for them all along the way. And other work, I'm sure, but that's the sort of work I've seen her doing. And she loves working directly with people and developing relationships with them, and then it brings more to her photography.
Right. Okay, so another... This Clem, I didn't read this, but look what he says. He posted this, I don't know, 5 or 6 days ago. My girlfriend and I have been tuned into Bob and Ion for 7 to 8 months and have been taking the Relax and Aware. Remember he called them Relax and Awake before. Now he's calling Relax and Aware drops for four and 5 months. I stumbled on a Harold Channer interview with Bob when doing a YouTube search for Fire Sign Theater recordings. That's interesting. We have been, you know, I met a couple of the Fire Sign Theaters people. We have been together almost as long as Bob and Carolyn have worked with various disciplines, including Vernon Howard, Gurdjieff, Don Juan Matus. Is that the guy in Carlos Castaneda? Don Juan Matus?
Mm-hmm.
Jan Cox, I don't know that, and Mayor Baba. Anybody know Jan Cox?
No.
Most of Ion's message seems to be an updated review of the work we've done so far. Yeah, it's updated and a completion and pushes
completion.
Us over the edge. Yeah. It's a completion, though. Rev Eagle say you never get it done, and I would agree, but as much as it can be completed, it's completed. The physics and chemistry, I think he means the RNA drops, add an innovative wrinkle to the ancient ideas, especially with the RNA formula. That's right. It's like what Bill of Achieve Radio says. To take that, quote, healing energy and put it in a bottle is pretty novel. So let's take it that way. It's alchemy right there in front of you. Bob's work is providing a new perspective from which to observe and release the mental habits preventing pure perception. Although difficult to conceive initially, repetitive listening to the audios is exposing tripwires heretofore unseen. So that's a nice sentence. My username, Clem, came from Firesign Theater's album, one of their great albums, I Think We're All Bozos on This Bus, unquote. Clem is the rascal that deprogrammed the computer controlling the future fare by introducing that ever-annoying third possibility into the computer's binary brain. Do that again. Clem is the rascal that deprogrammed the computer controlling the future fare by introducing that ever-annoying third possibility in the computer's binary brain. Oh, the album... Oh, I just flipped it. Sorry, but where is that? The album, Bozos, I think we're all Bozos on this bus, has always been my own personal Finnegan's Wake. Now, he spells Finnegan's Wake wrong, apostrophe S. You have to notice that there's no apostrophe S. But it's been his own personal Finnegan's Wake, revealing the power of the irrelevant. Now, the irrelevant would be the cliche. the power of the cliche probe. So we come full circle. So that's my sermon tonight. You're free to improvise your yearnings. But we look like we have another message from MJ. He says, they are slowly making it obvious that Touch is a portrayal of a Jack Bauer parallel world. That's pretty good. You know, if they're going to, because, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, his character was crummy compared to Jack Bauer, but maybe they realize they got to move it back to Jack Bauer. So that is worth noting. Portrayal of a Jack Bauer parallel world. Hurtado, Matthew Hurtado, you're fucking hilarious. Oh, that must have been what I said about drinking the drops. That's right. Well, that's very interesting if it's going that way. I will eventually look at those. Yeah. Well, I usually Rev Eagle has something to say when no one else has anything to say. What do you say, Rev?
I just wanted to share my experience. I've been taking the drops since, as you know, Saturday.
Yes.
And took it for, I followed the reindeer's advice and started with two.
Yeah.
And then I asked the tall one, he said, please take three before breakfast and three more before dinner, 15 minutes between.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing that since Sunday, and I've got five or six other people doing it also.
Yeah.
And I was delighted about, I mean, speaking of graves and leaving marriages and so forth and so on, was that all of a sudden, out of the blue, I became a nomadic Arabic nightly tent maker.
Okay.
Attracting a harem of one.
Oh.
And the one's name is Holly.
Ah, so that Holly was written a long time ago, that message, or just this last couple of days?
No, it was written...
Or is it a different Holly?
No, I've only known one Holly, that was enough. I mean, how much can you gravitate to, anyway?
Right.
No, this was written probably 5.5 years ago.
Yet Holly showed up just now.
No, I've been in conversation with her, but there have been a lot of flood tides and ebb tides in between. But now she's on the, she has advanced MS. She won two gold medal Olympic or gymnastics.
Yeah.
Funny place for someone so energetic to be dragging one leg behind her. And so she's doing a nice turnaround. Also her cancer, where they cut out part of her tongue and her throat, and of course they always want to do the lips on the neck.
Yeah.
So I got her on a full program, and my sense is that she's going to be coming down south.
Wow. And south would be Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. So this, you retrieved an aspect of your life that just came flying back in.
Yeah.
Neat. Now, I think...
And I just got to the point where I didn't even mind. And, of course, that's always the when the portal knocks on your door.
Right. So I think, Ed, Rev Eagle is the first to sort of get a group of people doing the RNA drops. Most people can't get anybody interested. Might get one person. You see what I'm saying, Michael?
Yeah, no, I see that.
Yeah, if you've got three, four, five, or six, that's never been reported before.
Well, actually, it's far more than that.
Really?
And my dear brother, if I may share it with you, my dear brother, who you know, Brother,
yeah.
Michael?
Yes.
We are about to launch a new radio show, which is the working title right now. Don't know if it'll stick or not. It's eaglesoaring.org.
And that will be a blog talk thing, you mean? Blog talk
radio?
A radio
show on the internet.
And this is
Yeah.
Yeah, is that an idea that occurred to you this week?
No, actually, it happened probably a couple of weeks ago when I suggested to Brother, why doesn't he start doing a radio show? And he said, well, the reason I haven't, I was waiting to meet you.
Well, you'll have to have Carol and I on as guests on your show.
Well, that's you're already on the list if you want to be.
Yeah, we'll talk anywheres.
Well, Michael knows you very well.
And I know Michael Spencer. I know. It's Michael Spencer.
Well, I didn't want to use names.
Yeah, I know that because when you emailed me today, I recognized his name on your list, so I know who that would be. Yeah, Michael. He got us he's almost got us on Sean David Morton. Matthew Hurtado went on.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we got 15 seconds. New message from MJ. RNA drops so stimulate the ease and allowance of creations. S in a bracket. RNA drops so stimulate the ease and allowance of creations. That's right. So that's it. Thanks a lot, guys. Michael, Rev Ego, D-Shadow, Carolyn, everybody else, and our soul recorder. Great show. We'll be back on Tuesday. Talk to you then.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Bill.
Goodbye.
We're finishing the month.
We've enjoyed playing with you. We like working for you.
Calling Zappa. He's done
yeah,
like Zappa.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, that's it.